Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, it is our number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and we are live in Irving for Flagtober. We probably just handed out two dozen flags right there at the break before the start of the show after crosstalk, and we'd love to see more of you. So we'll be rocking and rolling here for the next 5 hours, flags while they last. And we open with, the Errol Spence Jr. news. An athlete, a professional athlete who'd been very good to this show. He was with us in studio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
3 years ago, before he went and fought Kell Brook in England and won his first welterweight championship, we've had him on two or three times beyond that. He just fought Sean Porter and unified a couple of those welterweight bouts. But wake up this morning.
His fight in Frisco, right? We had him on in live in studio then, too.
Yeah. He's arguably the best boxer pound for pound going right now. So I woke up this morning, and it was at some point early in the 6 o'clock hour, and the news was just that a high-profile person was hurt in an accident with a Ferrari, and it was serious. And all the reporters were scrambling, calling contacts all over, trying to figure out exactly who it was. And then it came out, it was Errol Spence Jr., rollover accident in a convertible Ferrari. The video just surfaced about 15 minutes or so ago, and you see a car, enter the security camera that it was at a business down there, and there it goes rolling over, and it's really hard to tell because dust is flying everywhere, but it kind of looks like something flies out of the vehicle. Is that Errol himself on the video?
I think it's part of the back of the car, but I don't know because I couldn't see anything that looked like him. We know that he left the car at some point and that he was ejected, so I'm not sure, but that is, it looks terrifying.
It says serious injuries, but then... Did I just hear Ben and Skin say he just got his teeth knocked out?
That's the only thing that I've seen that anybody's offered in terms of an injury.
Okay.
Is broken teeth.
Yeah, the reports are he suffered broken teeth, but is expected to recover after rolling his Ferrari. That would be incredible. You talk about professional athlete or professional fighters being Superman. If you look at that Ferrari and you look at that video, and it's like, yeah, he's going to need some, cosmetic dental work or something, and maybe a couple of nights of convalescing, and he's going to be fine. That would be an incredible development. I feel like he's so lucky to be alive right now.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of is the types of situations that can often end in tragedy, and unfortunately here in the DFW sports community, we can know all too well about those things happening, and you don't have to look too far back in history to see reminders. So all things considered, traumatic and horrible event for Errol Spence Jr., but, we keep our fingers crossed that the worst that he'd be facing is some dental surgery and some DUI charges.
Yeah, it's weird that in a way it's probably a good thing that happened near 3 a.m. because...
You know the car's out there?
Yeah, because there's different ways to see it. One, I hope that he is okay. And two, if it is a DUI situation, thankfully no one else was on the road for him to injure or worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's possible every night. You don't have to go far to see what the score is after about 11, 12 o'clock at night, sometimes even earlier.
It's earlier.
Yeah, it is earlier.
Man, if I've ever been out on a weeknight having something that I have to do driving home, I will see drunk drivers everywhere.
Yeah.
I think it starts at like 9:30 p.m. It's insane. Mm. It's wild.
Well, so thoughts and prayers to the Errol Spence Jr. family, and best of luck to him in his recovery. And we will continue to give you updates as they come across today, GBAG Nation. With the Cowboys now, Mike Fisher's coming up at 3:20. Not only do we talk Cowboys with Fish, but we'll talk a little bit of Mavs with him as well. I think we're just waiting to see who all is going to be available and how good the news possibly could be on a guy like Tank, who apparently is not appearing on the practice report as being officially injured and limited or anything like that. But is Tyron Smith going to play for sure? And is there any shot Lyle Collins plays, right? Those are the big ones we're waiting to see how it goes.
It sounds like today Lyle is not making progress to play. So here we are on Thursday. I think we're getting kind of the feeling and sense Lyle is out. Not 100%, but I think you have to prepare as a Cowboy fan that Lyle is going to be out. Tyron Smith will be 50-50, and maybe we'll lean towards 55% playing. And then for Tank, I mean, when Tank's in, he's awesome. It's just that he's not in enough.
Yeah, and to your point earlier with Ben and Skin, when you blew seven gaskets and put him on the spot, talked crazy to him, I liked it.
That was fun.
If Lyle and Tyron both don't play, I can see the Jets beating the Cowboys. If both of them are out and your starting tackles are Cam Fleming and Brandon Knight,
yeah,
I could see the Cowboys losing that game. If Sam Darnold plays okay. I do think we've projected the greatness on Sam Darnold like I did with Baker, but at least we had evidence from Baker.
Yeah.
With Darnold, he's never done anything productive in the league yet. But I was a believer
just like
in him
nice
in the draft.
Plays.
Yeah,
like, oh,
yeah.
There's a flash. Yeah. Can he keep doing that?
Right, and I think he'll turn into a good player. So I think there's the ability on any given Sunday for him to make some big plays, because the best thing he does is what Dane Brugler would call outside of structure. Like a play breaks down, it's like, oh, God, what's going to happen now? And Darnold has a tendency, and he did at USC too, to go full Jameis, which is you might get a 60-yard touchdown or you might get one of the worst picks you've ever seen. And those kind of guys, they can be fun to play and they can be terrifying to play.
Hey, he plays like I'm going to will my team to win.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up.
Yeah.
Watch this.
This play, no play is dead.
Yeah.
I'm going to make something happen.
I was listening to Ben and Skin on my way over here, and again, we're at Walk-On's Bistro and Bar in Irving. Come on by, pick up a G-Bag Nation flag. And the stat they had was that something like 95% of Le'Veon Bell's rushing yards have come after contact.
Wow.
Like he's,
yeah. And he's not even averaging, what, 2.9?
He's at 2.9.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got like 3.4 in the game with Darnold. And so since then, he's averaging like 2.5.
So if he was bad running back, he would be averaging like 1 yard per carry?
Probably about 2.8.
But I don't
know. Running back fight.
I don't think we can take anything for granted as far as this Cowboys run defense.
No.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Le'Veon Bell shows up and gets five yards per carry and he's at 25 carries in the middle of the fourth quarter and the Cowboys are in an absolute dogfight trying to figure out why they can't bring a ball carrier down.
I would say, would you say that it's an officially bad defense for stopping the run? I know they stopped Kamara one game. But, I mean, when you go back to the last five games of last year and the playoff game and this season, that we're a below-average team at stopping the run.
And the Jets definitely aren't. I mean, they are – so I forget who's – man, I think we'll get to it in Cowboys Twitter.
You're telling me the Jets are good at something?
Yes, like there's a lot of their defensive numbers are really solid.
Oh, they're good defensively against the run. They give up 3.4 a carry, which you would think that would mean you run better than your opponents, but they don't. They are scoring 9.8 points per game. They are averaging 179 yards a game.
Yesterday we had the stat, Christian McCaffrey has more yards than the Jets.
Wow.
I want to see this because I think the Cowboys are actually number one in the league in yards right now. And or yards per game, and if that's true, yeah, they are. This is the best offense in the league against the worst offense in the league in yards per game. They average 179. The Cowboys average 453.
Mm.
Holy cow.
Yeah, you know, I think that is a little bit skewed. And I look at the Jets personnel. They have three or four decent receivers, right? They have professional guys out there that could put up 600-700 yards.
They have, like, two number twos and two number fours.
I think Robbie Anderson... God, some games that I watch, I'm like, dude, that guy's really good. And then for stretches, you check box scores for 6 weeks, and you're like, how come Robbie Anderson's not playing? And he was playing. You're like, what in the world is going on? Hmm. The one game that Darnold played this year, he only averaged like 4.2 yards per attempt, which is awful. But he had something going with Jamison Crowder.
Yeah.
So if you're the Cowboys right now, you're looking at Anthony Brown versus Jamison Crowder. And I think if Sam can throw the ball well and they can protect, which they've struggled with, Jamison Crowder could give you fits. That's a tough matchup. And Anthony Brown hadn't been great this year. So that like that's the one matchup I look at in this game and go, okay, if they really hurt you, if their slot guy goes for 120 yards and a couple of scores, you could lose to this team.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, a DFW sports station. We talked about one DFW champion already in Errol Spence Jr. Clayton Kershaw, man.
Holy cow.
That's tough to watch, isn't it? Horrible development for him. He comes in for Buehler in the seventh, gets an out
to end
the inning, but then two solo homers to open up the eighth and tie the game at three. He comes out. He's devastated on the bench in the dugout. And then, boom, the Dodgers lose on a 10th inning grand slam and their 106-win season flushed. And, you know, the solo home runs given up by Clayton Kershaw, a big reason for it.
Yeah, it was a tough game if you're a Clayton Kershaw fan or if you're a L.A. Dodger fan. You know, I went and looked at Clayton Kershaw's numbers in the playoffs. They're not good, but they're not horrible. And now, if you are a Hall of Famer, and he is a Hall of Famer.
He's like, what, a mid-4 ERA?
Yeah, 4.43, and he's 9-11 in 150-something innings. I mean, he's pitched a lot of innings in playoff baseball.
How did he have a 3 ERA this year? Because, like, he throws, what, a fastball and a slider mostly. They're both 89 miles an hour. So he must just be able to command the crap out of it.
But he has good movement. He has a hammer curveball at times. But, you know, he does not have the same stuff, but...
If his name's not Clayton Kershaw, he doesn't go in that game, does he?
Great.
If he doesn't
question.
Have three Cy Young awards on the shelf, he does not go in that game.
Clayton Kershaw had a good year.
Yeah, no, he had like a 3.0 ERA, but like they left their closer. They left a bullet in the gun of their closer. Like Kenley Jansen's body language when he came into a 7-3 game.
I saw your tweet.
Oh my God. He might have got all three pop outs. But like he would throw the ball, and it would be a pop-up, and it was clear that it was an out. But he wasn't like looking relaxed or looking up at it. He just looked like, why the hell wasn't I already in this game? What are we doing?
I think that it's funny because you say that, and I get everything you're saying. I think that Dave Roberts and the Dodgers had lost some confidence in Kenley Jansen because he had a up-and-down year. And so I think they were worried about their bullpen.
But they had two other guys in the bullpen, one who'd struck out – he'd faced Soto three times in the series, two strikeouts and a ground out. Yeah. They had another guy that I was reading about. I don't know who he is, but they say it was a good matchup for before that. So they should have gone reliever, reliever, and then you've still got Kelly. You've still got Jansen, but it was like Clayton Kershaw wants the ball.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah. It was one of those things where Dave Roberts might get fired. Now, I don't think he
just
should.
Got a four-year extension, but good.
I mean, that was the best record in Dodgers history, and that's what makes it so disappointing. It's what made 2007 so disappointing for the Dallas Mavericks to have the best record in the NBA and lose in the first round, so, like the Dodgers have done here. But, you know, and look, Dave's one of my good friends. Love him to death. The way, and I'm going to defend him because he's my buddy here, and I think you can take shots at my defense and win the argument. Is he just went out there in a big situation and struck a guy out. Now, that being said, I don't know. I mean,
I saw this stat, though, that Clayton Kershaw has had a really hard time this year, like getting the first five guys out. So Roberts puts him in a situation where that's what you need from him is like five guys out. You're not going to get the benefit of guys like 6 through 20. You know what I'm saying?
It's very tough for a starter to come in late in a game and relieve. Now, that being said, Patrick Corbin did it. He came in after six innings of Kershaw and was able to come in and keep the game at 3-1/3-3.
But Kershaw has like a 5.8 ERA in the first inning this year. Okay.
But in the, now the other, you know, Patrick Corbin blew a game and get four runs in less than an inning in this series coming in relief.
Okay.
So like,
I get it. You want your best pitchers on the mound, but at the same time, if it's like, all right, he's been shaky postseason. He's not who he was once upon a time. And I have guys who this is what they do. This is their job. And they're really good at it. It's just, I don't know. And you're right, because there's a lot of starting pitchers. Maeda came in, too, and
right.
he was good.
Right.
And it's like, you can do it, but if you're a reliever on that team who's been part of getting you there and you're used to pitching in those situations, are you looking at him like, what are we doing?
Yeah, you know,
like, this is my job.
For Kershaw, this was his worst year since his rookie year, and his worst year ever since his rookie year is 16-5 with a 3.03 ERA.
Yeah, he was still good. He was still very good.
But it's tough. Kershaw probably feels horrible. Did you hear what Dodger fans were doing? I mean, it stinks because, you know, he's the best pitcher besides Sandy Koufax in Dodgers history.
Dang.
And they were taking off his jersey in the parking lot.
Running it
over.
No,
running over it and everything.
Uncalled for.
This dude's a Hall of Famer, one of your second greatest pitcher of all time in your history. But he did blow it. It was a tough one. I mean, he did face the MVP, arguably,
yeah.
gave up a home run, and then faced one of the greatest young players in the history of Major League Baseball. And that was a bomb.
And when those guys came back up, it's not like Kelly did any better. Like, somebody asked me on Twitter going into the 10th, like, who's going to win? And I was like, well, they have to face a real problem in the 10th, so I think the Dodgers are done. And sure enough, the cool part is it was Howie Kendrick. And Howie Kendrick had made three brutal errors in this series that were all just like, are you really a big league player? Like, Mike makes that play 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Three errors, and he's the guy that with the bat in his hand said, all right.
When he hit it, I thought they're up 4-3. I thought it was a sack fly.
I can't believe he knew it was a home run because that cleared the wall by, like, what, 4 feet?
Yeah.
And, like, he hit the ball and was, like, looking at the dugout like, yes! And I'm like, I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, that might get caught, and it's gone. But I was like, man, he was really sure on a ball that did not.
He did play for the Dodgers. So he does, he's played, you know, the 80-something games at that stadium to know if it, you know, you have a better idea.
There was a guy earlier in the game that thought he hit a bomb that did not.
Yeah.
And that, so it was happening.
And maybe he also, for this, the reason he can kind of celebrate there, because people sometimes don't realize veteran guys know a lot more than young guys. It's just the way it is. But when I hit a ball like that, and it might be a sack fly, it might be a home run.
Sack fly is good for a run.
I got my runner at second tagging up. He's not going halfway because there's nobody out. So if it hits off the wall, I'm probably going to score anyways. If they catch it, I got to get to third base and be at third base with one out. So if I hit that ball, I know my guy at first is going to go halfway, but he can't start sprinting really fast because he can't overrun the guy at second base. So best case scenario, I'm getting a double out of that. It's impossible to get a triple out of that ball.
Very interesting. We're at Walk-On's Bistro and Bar. We have the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. More baseball for you with Mike's Baseball Nuggets at 3:40. We'll talk about it in the 5 as well because another big Game 5 is coming up tonight with the Rays and Astros at 6:07. We're going to talk with Matthew Friedman of the Action Network. Have the losses made gamblers believe the Cowboys could actually lose to the Jets? We'll talk about that with him next here in the G-Bag Nation. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Compliments to the chef here at Walk-On's Bistro and Bar. The food is absolutely delicious. Join us here in Irving. It's Flagtober, and we probably still have 50 flags or so. We'd love to see you swing on by and pick one up. It's about time here to talk with Matthew Friedman of the Action Network. He joins us, and we go against the spread and talk about some of the big storylines with that kind of stuff every Thursday at 2:20 here in the G-Bag Nation. I just had a bacon-wrapped shrimp. I got a little extra grease going on here. Give me a second.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at the menu, and they have a burger that has shrimp on it.
Mm.
Half-pound burger and blackened shrimp.
This over here is called the Hickory Burger. And if you come by Walk-On's, I'm sure you're going to love whatever you order.
I took home the bread pudding and let my kids eat it. They were really happy with it.
Yeah, I had like 3 or 4 slices of that. That was outstanding. Okay, segment here is brought to you by Chamberlain Steak and Chop House and by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the office of Frankel and Frankel at 214-333-3333. Official lawyers of the Tolo, principal office, Dallas, Texas. As Matthew Friedman of the Action Network joins us now. If you're looking for an edge, download the free Action Network app and get live odds and expert analysis for every game. And a good afternoon to you, Matthew. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Now, to reset our audience, you are a DFW guy. You found yourself in the Midwest and working for one of the top, I guess, handicapping-type websites out there. What took you to Illinois? It must have been a lot of money or a beautiful smile. What do you say, Matthew?
It's more the beautiful smile. And actually, it's Iowa, but let's be honest, it's all the same once you're in the Midwest. But, yeah, been living here in Cedar Rapids for about 3 years, and I think of it as the Fort Worth of Texas. I mean, sorry, the Fort Worth of Iowa, so it's not a bad place to be.
Very good. Now, how much have the Cowboys' struggles made you think the Jets could beat them this weekend?
Oh, man, so last week was horrifying. They were, I think, the better team, but they lost because of just a couple careless plays. I mean, you know, losing at home as favorites, that's what they do. But this week, I really liked him, Rufus Peabody on Twitter, and he's one of the best handicapping sports betting guys on the planet. He said that the addition of Sam Darnold takes the Jets from being a Washington Redskins level of bad to being more like the Cincinnati Bengals level of bad, which, okay, let's be honest, like at this point, we're basically distinguishing between two different types of manure. Like, my nose is not subtle enough to smell the difference. The Jets are still really bad. The Cowboys, at this point, are number one in the league.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
We lost Matthew Friedman.
I hung up on him because he was talking about the Jets being really bad, and I just bet $250 that they would win 5 games this year.
I didn't think that sound was still made by phones.
Yeah, certainly. I think he's on a landline.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, and I think he's a millennial. He probably struggles how to use it.
He's probably
just playing with the button. Like, hey, what's this button do?
There's this little thing in the middle where the phone gets set down at. Yeah. What does it do, I wonder?
Did you hear him say, though, that losing his home as favorites is what the Cowboys do? I didn't realize it was that bad.
I mean, if I'm a gambler, you can ask him what the percentage is so we have a good idea. Like, next week when we play Philadelphia, we'll probably be favored by, like, 2 or 3 points.
Okay, Matthew, when we left off, you were telling us how your nose isn't subtle enough to detect different varieties of manure, I believe.
Yes. So, bottom line, the Jets are really bad, and the Cowboys are number one in the league in yards per play. You can find this line out there around 7, even 6.5 at some places. I like it all the way to 10. That's being aggressive, but the Cowboys should be able to take care of business against the Jets this week.
So you're pretty optimistic about the Cowboys. I got to tell you, you know how it is locally after a couple of losses. It's hard to find the kind of optimism there that you've been talking about here in these opening couple of answers. So how much in you know, the world of what you do, does a couple of losses, you know, one at home and one on the road, albeit against a backup quarterback, what is your Teflon to sort of the negativity that you know, is so rampant right now?
Yeah, I think, one, it helps that I don't live in Texas, so I'm not surrounded in the negativity. But then, two, I try to focus pretty much on the numbers, and the numbers that year over year, game over game, prove predictive. And so turnovers are kind of fluky. And let's be honest, the Cowboys lost that last game because of the turnovers. But on a per-play basis, they were just as good as the Packers and probably better. And the fact that they are number one in the league right now in yards per play on offense is really encouraging. And it helps that they have Michael Gallup back. Like, he is not your typical number two receiver. Like, he is pound for pound, I think, just as dynamic in this offense as Amari Cooper is. So his addition is really significant to this team.
Okay, so how about when you look at the Cowboys' schedule, though? Because, you know, even if they are going to be the top team in yards per play, as they come up against the Eagles and the Vikings and the Lions and the Patriots and Bills and Bears and Rams and Eagles, I mean, those are games that are going to happen consecutively week to week. Is this Cowboys team good enough that we can be optimistic looking, you know, beyond the Jets and into what's lurking?
Yeah, so the game in Week 7 against the Eagles, that is going to be a real bellwether type of test for the Cowboys. The Eagles' secondary is ravaged right now. They are without their 3 starting cornerbacks, and it looks like it's going to be that way for quite a while. So the Cowboys should be able, especially at home, they should be able to take care of the Eagles. If they can't, that is a really significant sign for the rest of the season. But they should beat the Jets. They have a really good chance of beating the Eagles. They should easily be able to beat the Giants. And then at that point, you know, we just kind of see where all of the other teams are. But the Eagles going against a secondary that is severely damaged right now, they should be able to exploit that.
How about against the spread with the Jets game? What's the smart play?
Against the Jets? I mean, I like the Cowboys at -7 right now. That's where you can find them in most markets.
So do you follow the college football lines much?
I do it casually, but I know that that is not my expertise. Okay. I start to dip into college when those guys are coming to the NFL, and so I do project rookies to the NFL. That's one of the things I really like to do. But for college, I know enough to know that I'm dangerous and should stay away.
Okay. All right. Then we won't talk about Texas OU here because that's a 10.5 point spread.
But I'm trying to get rich. Just wing it. I don't even care if you're right. Just tell me where to put the money.
Okay. Well, on this, Oklahoma. I hate to say that. I know, you know, being from Texas, I hate to say that, but Oklahoma's the way to go.
All right. Well, when it comes to Thursday night football tonight, it's a big spread. It's 17 points. The Patriots have covered two of those big spreads and didn't cover against the Jets. Do you feel like they're going to cover the 17 tonight?
Yeah, I think so. 17 is a big number, especially in a game that's going to be impacted by weather. We're expecting, you know, like a nor'easter up there. You know, I lived in the Northeast for about 9 years, so I'm kind of familiar when people say nor'easter, like what that means. There's going to be a lot of wind, a lot of rain, and so it's hard for a team to win by 17 points in a game that's going to be impacted by weather. That said, the Giants are without their top two running backs, their number one wide receiver, and their top tight end, who is basically the top receiver in that offense. I think it's going to be really hard for them to move the ball against a pass defense that right now looks like the number one in the league. So, I would take 17 for the Patriots, but I wouldn't bet it past it. If it goes to 17.5, I just let it sit there.
Matthew, the Eagles going to Green Bay and winning on Thursday night was pretty depressing for us. Vikings are 3-point home faves against Philly. Well, how do you see that game going?
So, you know how last week I said that Jason Garrett was the worst head coach in the league as a home favorite? Mike Zimmer is basically the polar opposite. And if you think about the type of coach he is, I think it makes sense. He's a disciplinarian. He's a defensive-minded, detail-oriented type of guy. All throughout that defense, they are very solid. And then on offense, you know, they are militantly run first. And with Gary Kubiak, there is an offensive assistant. They have a very good zone running scheme. And so they don't make a lot of mistakes. They don't put themselves out of games. And what that means is that when they are in those situations where they have an edge, so when they are at home, when they are favored, when they are playing a team outside of their division, so a team that isn't familiar with them, a team that doesn't have the, you know, year-over-year experience of being able to know what they are going to expect in any given game, when they have those edges, Mike Zimmer's Vikings are overwhelmingly positive against the spread. And in this game, we have all three of those situations lining up. The Vikings at home as favorites, going against a team outside of division. When those three things have all lined up, and it's happened actually a fair number of times, you know, Mike Zimmer has been the head coach there now for over a half decade. They are 18-2-1 against the spread in those situations. I am overwhelmingly on the Vikings for this game, and in part it's because I like the way they match up. I think they're going to be able to run against the Eagles. They have a very good running game, and against that damaged secondary, I really expect that they're going to be able to pass the ball, even if they don't do it all that often. I still think Thielen and Diggs, whenever they get their targets, are going to be able to produce with them.
We went long with you today because you were on a roll, Matthew. We salute you, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
Matthew Friedman brought to you by the Action Network. It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day as we go back into the Pimp Cup. Lucius Alexander standing by. And who's our champion, Lucius?
The great Brad Sham. You know, he ripped the official game official over the flag controversy, as we call it, y'all.
Throw the second flag there, Coach Redball. And there's a penalty flag.
Well, I'm wondering what that flag was for. Christy?
Yeah, I believe side judge Scott Edwards threw that flag. This is the same official who earlier in the third quarter had come down the sideline to admonish Jason Garrett to move him back. That's when the Packers were in the Cowboys red zone. But the side judge, he was in the far corner of the end zone and literally ran 40 yards to come in.
Garrett took his challenge flag, and I mean slammed it into the ground.
He didn't like the way he threw the red flag?
No.
Bogus. So, fake news. This is absolutely like a baseball argument. And then the guy comes and you're out. And that flag was thrown in retaliation for something Garrett said that
I don't think he liked the way
Judge
he
literally
like. Threw the, spiked the flag.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a toss out.
Well,
like it spiked
you
it.
Know, tough, Snowflake.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you didn't
that's
like what it, he
that's
said, come on.
I don't know that I've ever seen that before.
No, I don't either, and that's bad officiating in my opinion. If you throw a flag for 15 yards because you don't like what the coach said to you, no, that is over-officious jerk officiating, in my opinion.
In my opinion.
Brad Sham, a three-time G-Bag of the Day champion, as we broadcast here live from Walk-On's Bistro and Bar, where while that cut was playing, I actually ate some alligator. Chomp
that
down.
Is that first time ever?
Yes. No, second time ever. I ate something. Oh,
boy, you done had you some gator now, boy. Boy, you breaking on in now.
Yeah. And Mike's been crushing some plate over there when we were talking with
it's
Matthew.
Some
What's
sort
that?
Of blackened fish with some like corn grits underneath it. It's really good.
Yeah, outstanding food here at Walk-On's. Who's the challengers today, Lucius?
Let's see. Okay, we can either go with a guy who got himself busted trying to pick up a 14-year-old girl.
Oh,
there's like this new vigilante thing where people are recording themselves, busting people.
Yeah, I saw one got kidnapped.
Exactly. That was just the other day, some girls.
Yeah.
Or we can go, Roy recorded people making jet sounds. He went around and did that. Which one you want to do that? Or we can go, matter of fact, let's go with this one. You guys know who Godfrey the comedian is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. He does the best Steve Harvey I've ever heard.
No, that was dating Pete Davidson.
Oh, Kate Beckinsale.
What
movie? He jumped into Mike. I just
he
said.
He jumped into Mike.
Wait, Kate Beckinsale.
Survey set.
So he was in.
You know, Steve Harvey like, I'm going to look at that answer. Survey set.
Why is this always surprised?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh.
That Steve Harvey be like.
Yeah.
He be like. What your ass say? I mean your ass. I said the top fruit. She said, oh hell no. I'm just saying, y'all. Let's go to the bull.
Good stuff right there. Good impression. That could win G-Bag of the Day right there. One more challenger, though, Lucius. Who do we got?
Let's go with this. Roy went around and had people make jet sounds.
So, look, we're playing the Jets this weekend, right? So every time the Cowboys get up for a game, right, we try to prepare them for the opponent that they're going to be facing, right?
Uh-huh.
So they're facing the Jets this weekend. So what I need from you, sir, is your best sound effect of what a jet sounds like. You know how a jet sounds? Hold on, now do it into the microphone though. You ready?
I don't know.
Come on, please. I haven't even asked for your name yet, so like you're totally anonymous right now. It's gonna sound perfect. This is the acoustics of this beautiful parking garage we're in. No, you gotta hold it longer than that.
Okay,
it takes longer than that to lift off. Come on.
It's now. like
All right, now a little bit of turbulence. A little bit of turbulence. All right, now there's a baby on the jet.
Right,
and now the jet's landing.
What the heck, Roy? An all-timer right there. He'll do anything, won't he?
Yeah. Yes, he will.
Cajones. Okay, is it Brad Sham, our three-time champ? Is it Roy, or is it the Steve Harvey impressions? Mike, the voting starts with you.
Steve Harvey impressions.
Oh. All right, Lucius.
Yeah, I'm going to ride with Godfrey the comedian on Steve Harvey. One of the best ones I've ever heard, man.
Oh. Jeffrey?
I am as well.
That's over.
By a score of 3-1.
Stop
I voted
the
for
fight.
Roy White. He's done it. Godfrey, G-Bag of the Day champion. We're live at Walk-On's Bistro and Bar, where something delicious to eat is waiting, and something delicious to drink is waiting for you as well. Come on by, watch the games. I think you're going to enjoy it. When we come back, Mike has something prepared we can enjoy.
I do have something. How about we bet on the NFL next?
Mesquite Mitsubishi has the brand new Outlander Sport SUV starting at $16,900. Visit mymitsu.com.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius, and thanks to Wacons Bistro and Bar for having us out at their Irving location. This is the place to be to get delicious food and some drinks while you watch games, and we'll be here until 7 o'clock. Still do have about a half box of G-Bag Nation flag, so come on by while they last during Flagtober. We got winning time coming up here. Your chance to win $1,000. Stay tuned. Here's Bassick.
All right, so tomorrow I'm driving in the morning to College Station with my boys for Texas A&M and Alabama. That's a 17-point spread for Alabama. I don't want to bet that game. I do think I'm going to see a Alabama win by about 17 to 30 points the way that I've watched Texas A&M this year. So I'm not going to bet that. But, Jeff, to start off the betting.
Oh, what's up, buddy? You want some of this?
It's my week to pick.
Come on.
I want to pick the game tonight, even though it's a big spread. I'm going to stick with the Patriots and just go with the minus 17.
Okay.
Against you. So tonight, I want some action. I want the New England Patriots minus 17. So you get New York at plus 17. I'm not that interested in that game, honestly, because I think that's going to be a 14 to 30 point victory.
Okay, so I got the Giants plus 17 there,
yes.
Mike.
But this is the game that I'm going to throw out for another one that I think you're going to be okay with. I want Saturday, I want Texas at plus 10.5. I don't get.
No, I don't want to bet that. No, I think that game is closer.
You're an
than
OU
that.
Fan.
No, I think you that game's close. No, I'm an objective observer of all things college football. Some call me an expert at it. Some a master of college football. Some a genius.
Best there ever was is what I go with.
Yeah, and I just don't want any of that action. 10.5 is a big number. Texas is a good football team. Ellinger's like should be in the top six of the Heisman race. I want no part of that bet, Mike.
I want OU. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll take it.
I don't want
I'll take the 10.5.
I think that is going to be a great game that can go either way.
I
and
do
if
too.
The spread was 6.5 OU, I'd get it. Like, you know, they're considered the better team. But 10.5 points on a game they lost last year with a better quarterback. Kyler is a better quarterback. Maybe they
also
a
won
team.
Last year.
Not the Texas OU game.
Well, they played twice.
Well, then the second game they did win. But the Texas OU game, the I call it the real one, but I get it. The other one counted a whole bunch too for OU to make the tournament. But all right, well, I don't get the game that I actually want the most. Jeff, do you have a game that you would like to pick against
I do. Me? I'm going to test our gambling guy that we just talked to, Pete Mattson. What's his name, Matt? I'm going to test our guy. Yeah, I'm going to test
Friedman.
Our guy. Listen.
What is his name?
Matthew Friedman.
Pete Matt. I knew there was a Matt. Matthew. Listen, I'm going to test him. I'm going to test his mettle.
All right.
And it's double fun because I really need this team to win this game. So do you guys.
I'm going to take
the Vikings minus 3. He said he was hot on it. He said he was big on it. I'm terrified of it. I would probably pick the Eagles to win, but I want to see what he's made of and try to make this money. So I'm going to take the Vikings minus 3 hosting the Eagles to help out the Cowboys.
Okay.
I'm so scared of that game.
Gosh.
Eagles are going to beat him, and I just bet on the Vikings.
So
and laid points.
That's
how you gamble.
I'm not feeling like a lot of confidence.
Oh, I got every game this week.
In other games? And I'm supposed to pick against Gavin first. So picking first, I'm going to go with 4-0 Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, look at you. You're not a believer in Minshew mania, huh? Not this week.
I guess. Well,
tweaked groin. He's on the injury report, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, minor groin
I wonder
situation.
How he got that.
Yeah, probably stretching it out in the locker room.
I can't believe the Saints would go 4-0 with no Drew Brees. But since they've beaten all these good teams, I will go with the Saints being a one-point underdog in Jacksonville. So I'll give you Jacksonville as a one-point favorite, Gavin. I don't really like that game too much, but I had to pick one, so I picked one. So, Gavin, you pick a game in the NFL that you like.
Okay, let me go to the municipality of Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, Gavin.
This is going to be interesting.
Don't do this. Don't do this to the guy. He's having it bad enough already.
Browns have been the center of the universe, and so much so. They are a home dog here by 1.5 hosting the Seahawks. I will take those Cleveland Browns. I think they can keep it close.
Okay.
Seattle traveling east has been serious trouble for them for a long, long time. I don't expect that to stop, especially since it's an early game.
Oh, it's pretty much a pick'em game, and I was looking at that one, and I was just like, well, I'd like to take the Browns, but then they have a quarterback who threw 8 completions for 100 yards the last time he played a football game. But to your point, let's see. The Seahawks are an awesome start so far to the year. Browns, not an awesome start. And, Jeff, you said you want to pick all the games. Is there another game you like?
Yeah, I want to bet the Tank Bowl.
That's a tough. Are you going to take the? You're going to.
I want to bet the Tank Bowl.
You're going to take the home dog, aren't you?
No. I don't have a preference. I just want to bet anyone on this game so that I have a reason to watch the Tank Bowl. 0-5 Washington at Miami. 0-4 Washington, 3.5-point favorite on the road.
If you're going to bet anything here, I'll bet $20. I'll take the Dolphins plus 3.5.
All right, let's get it. Come on with it, Tank Bowl, baby.
So you got Wash at.
I got Washington minus 3.5 against Miami.
I mean, you have to think the Dolphins are really bad when they're taking on arguably the second worst team in the NFL, and they're like, yeah, we're still going to make you a 3.5-point underdog.
Well, they're scared of this game. Miami's terrified of this game because Washington's doing this on accident. Miami's doing it on purpose.
Okay.
But they are pretty equal at this point.
Miami's like if Washington had traded away their two or three good players before the start of the year. I mean, they're exceptionally pathetic.
Well, right, but Washington, instead of trading away their two or three best players, their best player just didn't show up and said, I won't play for you guys, and they didn't trade him. So that's what Washington's up to right now.
Is that all you got?
Oh, no, I won every game. Yeah, I won every game.
What do you think about Rams-Niners?
Oh, I
what
think
a showdown.
I think it's a wonderful game, and I'd wish that you would pick a side.
Oh, Gavin versus Jeff. Aren't you winning a lot, Gavin, or no?
Yeah, he's taking all my money, but I'm feeling cocky right now. I spent a lot yesterday. I got to make it back up. Ran by Honda Cars McKinney. Got another vehicle.
What? No, you didn't.
No way.
Well, Amanda broke her car dumpster diving for boxes. It totally died. Engine kaput.
You bought a car for her?
Well, so she's going to Florida.
Yeah.
A lot of the things in our home she bought. And so we were tallying up, like, are you going to take this? No. Okay, I'll keep this. I'll keep this, like the fridge and a lot of other big items. So I owed her about $3,400. I was like, well, let's go, you know, to my homies at Honda Cars and McKinney, see what they got for you. We got a certified pre-owned HRV, beautiful looking SUV. And, yeah, I put the down payment, and that was my debt to her for all the things that I'm keeping that she paid for. Yeah.
Oh, so it's her car, but because you owed her $3,400.
Right, it's her car, her name. I just paid the down payment because that was about what I owed her for life. Otherwise, I wouldn't have a refrigerator or a microwave or anything in bedrooms or anything on the walls, and I would lose my curtains. And I need my curtains.
You must have an awesome refrigerator.
It was about $1,200. Yeah, it's a pretty good fridge. It's a pretty good fridge. Yeah, so I need to gamble because I need to win.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all on my credit card right now.
Okay, and the last thing.
Which one did you take, Gavin?
Rams? I'll take the Niners plus 3.
Okay, so I got the Rams minus 3.
Let's Does anybody else want to bet any more football?
Yes. Steelers-Chargers. Steelers are minus, or Chargers are minus 6.5 at home. I'll lay those points. Anybody want the Steelers plus 6.5? Huh? No? You want the Chargers
Gavin,
minus 6.5?
I
don't care. Come on, pick a team. Man up, guys. Lions-Packers, huh? Monday?
Okay, I will take the Lions in that game.
Come on, I'll lay 4 points. I have to win. If I don't win these games, I got to call Mark Rubin.
Man, there's so many good NFC games week to week. There's like two or three of them that seem like heavyweight matchups, and it's because like everybody's still a contender in the NFC. Pretty amazing. 5 weeks in.
Yeah.
Who's who? Okay, we are live at Walk-On's Bistro and Bar here in Irving as Flagtober rolls on. Anything else, gentlemen? Any other final wagers you need to make?
I think I'm good with wagers.
Hold on.
Let me see.
I'll call you guys a coward if you're not willing to bet
some of
these games.
You're a coward. You're a big OU fan, and you sit in OU suites, and then you won't bet OU.
Cardinals-Falcons. Kyler Murray, 2.5-point underdog. Atlanta on the road, going to the Cardinals. Who do you want, Gavin?
Neither. I'm
what
good.
A bunch of cowards!
Nah, man. Hey,
you must not have enough debt to need to gamble right now.
I lost 4 or 5 last week, and I'm second guessing everything. I can't get the confidence restored till I have some wins beneath my wings.
All right, we'll talk about Panthers Bucks in the break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.